Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that we can just come into your presence now, Lord. We thank you that you do reign. We thank you that you are looking over us and protecting us, and you're with us, Lord. I'm thankful for that, Lord. I just pray that you just be with us right now. I pray that you just fill our hearts. Lord, I pray right now that, you know, as we're in the hustle bustle of this time of year, and you know, this moment, this next 30 minutes, Lord, 40 minutes, that you would just calm everything down, Lord, and that you'd help us just to focus upon you, that we would just see you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd open up our hearts and our minds and teach us and touch us and mold us. And Lord, let us see Jesus. Move us to worship. And again, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who came. And it's his name we pray. Amen. Amen. I just want to make sure that everybody understands we are having service next Sunday morning. There will be a service Sunday morning. Just like every Sunday morning, we have service. Even when Christmas falls on the 25th, I can't think of any other place I'd be. I mean, why? I'm in church. Just always been that way. So it's just, to me, it's a no, it's not even a question. So that's just so you know how Pastor Steve thinks. That's what I think. So, and then we're going to come back in the evening. We'll have a candlelight service. And it's just for us to be together and celebrate the light coming into the world. So we're going to have church twice on next Sunday. So if you want to be a part of that, I would love for you to be here. If you're with family and friends and you have that tradition, then to be present with them. Amen?
Amen.
So, but that's where we're going to be. So I want you to come out and join us. This Christmas season, we've been looking at Jesus foretold in the Old Testament. You know, one of the things I love about the Bible is that it tells us what's going to happen. It's been telling us. I mean, from the time it was written and Moses wrote it down, the first parts, it told of a Savior who was coming, a Messiah, a lion, a lamb. There's all these different terms that are used, but it tells about the coming of Christ. He's coming, the Messiah is coming. And the people were looking for him. And there was enough information, it just told you that something spectacular is coming. And then when Jesus came, you just think about it. He came, he walked among us. He died, was buried, and he ascended back into heaven. And he's going to come again. And what is the church doing now? We're looking for Christ to come again. Just like in the Old Testament, they're looking for the Messiah. We are looking for the Messiah to return. Only he's not going to come as a lamb like the first time. He's going to come like a lion. Because when he comes the second time, it's done. You know, C.S. Lewis describes it the best. He's like, when that moment happens, all of reality that we know is just going to stop. When the playwright walks out on the stage, the play is over. And that's how he's going to come back. It's going to be over. There's no more time of decision. And Lewis says that is either going to be a time of absolute joy or absolute horror, depending on what side you're on. Because there's no more time of choosing. That's the reality that we see in the Bible. That's what we see. And we celebrate that Christ came. And we look forward to him coming back and restoring all things. And so we look at this. We look at the fulfilling. We've been looking at this fulfilling of some of the prophecies. And he came in the Old Testament. And he told he was coming. And so this theme of coming, his coming, we've been looking at. And what he came for. I mean, I think one of the most important things that we have about Christmas, we kind of lose it sometimes, is the fact that Jesus came for a reason. He came for a reason. He didn't just come so that we could exchange gifts, but we celebrate that God gave the gift of his son because through the son we'd have forgiveness of sin and we would have life eternal. Death and sin would be defeated and we would have life in him. That's what we celebrate on Christmas. Because without that, we're lost. I mean, we're lost. We celebrate his coming. And we truly celebrate how wonderful our God is, that he came full of truth, full of glory and truth. That's what we celebrate. Don't get wrapped up in everything else. You know, my neighbor was telling me, Christmas, just kind of lost it because all the materialism and everything. I said, you don't have to do that. You know that, right? That's a choice you're making, right? That's an option that you've chosen. You don't have to do that. You can celebrate the reason why Christ came into the world. We celebrate that. So you choose that. Yeah, I choose to celebrate Christ. I don't care what the world does. I know what I'm going to do, right? I encourage you to do the same. This morning we're looking back how Jesus fulfills the blessing given to Judah, which is Old Testament, by his father Jacob. And we're going to look how Jesus is both the lamb and the lion from the tribe of Judah. This morning's message is just simply titled, The Lion and the Lamb. And we're going to start backwards this morning. We're going to look at two places in your Bible. So if you have your Bibles, open them up. If you have a phone, tablet, whatever you do, we want to open up to Revelation chapter 5, put a finger there, and then open up to Genesis 49, put a finger there. We're going to look at the two. In Revelation 5, when you open it up, you see this grand picture that was given to the Apostle Paul while he was, John, while he was on the island of Patmos. You remember this is later, written later, probably around 80 AD, and he was a prisoner of the Romans, and he was given this grand, like, tour almost of heaven, and he saw the worship of God. I mean, just imagine, it's almost the same kind of picture you see in Isaiah chapter 6, where you can't really see God, but you see the train of his robe as he's seated on the throne. In this picture, you see John can't make out, but he knows that God is up on the throne, but he sees his hand. He can see his hand, and his hand is holding a scroll, and it's got seven seals on it. And nobody in heaven can open it. No one is worthy. No one. And we see that John, when he realizes that nobody can fulfill God's perfect plan perfectly, he weeps. He starts to weep because he realizes we're all lost. If someone can't open that scroll, if God's plan can't be fulfilled, we're lost. And he starts to weep, and it's right about then one of the elders that are standing nearby him says in verse 5, "Do not weep. Look, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so he is able to open the scroll and the seven seals." In the very next verse we read, he says, "Then I saw one slaughtered like a lamb standing in the midst of the throne with the four living creatures and among the elders." And what we start to realize there is that the lion is the lamb, and he is worthy. He alone is worthy. He's worthy, firstly, because he is the lamb. Heaven falls before him. If you just read a little bit further and you look at verse 9 and 10, you'll see that heaven, all of heaven, falls before the Lamb. And it says this, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open the seal because you were slaughtered and you were purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and language, nation, people and nation. And you made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign on earth." He's worthy because he was the Lamb who was slain. He is worthy because he's also the lion foretold in Genesis 49:10. Now imagine, this is probably 1,500 years before Revelation. And here's this picture of Jacob blessing his son. And if you look at the patriarchs, which Jacob is one of them, you see him blessing their children. And these blessings become, they're not just blessings, they actually come true. They're like prophecies on their sons. And this is what he said about his son Judah, foretelling the coming of Jesus. He says this, he says the scepter, in verse 10, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, or the staff from between his feet, until he whose right it is comes, and the obligation of his people belong, obedience of his people belong to him. So he tells them that his scepter, his right to rule, and the staff to rule them by will be in his feet, but he'll hang on to it until the time when the person comes where all obedience of his people will belong. So he's telling of a time when someone's going to come along who's going to be rightful, who those two things belong to, and you're going to, that person, that king, is going to be the lion, the tribe of Judah. He's going to be the lion. He is the one who has the right has come. Jesus is the lion. And then we see Judah was called the cub, the young lion, but we see that Jesus is a lion, fully grown and mature. And he comes from the line of David, the root of David. He is the heir to the throne whose kingdom will never end. And we're going to talk about David's throne next week, so you don't want to miss that. But he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the lion from the tribe of Judah. It is rightfully his. And looking to Jesus' life, we can see how he's both the lamb and the lion. I love these aspects, these characteristics of Jesus, our Savior. He is both the lamb and the lion. He is like a lamb in the way that he came and by the way that he lived his life. When you look at the life of Jesus, you can see that he came humbly. He was the lion from the tribe of Judah. Everything belongs to him, yet he was born in a manger. Born amongst animals, born humbly. It was the shepherds who came out of the field who first worshiped him. He was born in a manger. He was born vulnerable and weak. I remember when I was deployed to Saudi Arabia and I was sitting, I'd work with Muslims every day in this control center, like, and I would read my Bible. I had my M16 and 120 friends with me. I thought I'd be all right. I'd read my Bible. And they actually kind of admired that I was bold enough for my faith, right there in front of them. As a nation, they wouldn't be, but this group of people, they would ask me questions. And one of the questions they would laugh, they were making fun of me, is that they would say, "God a baby?" And I say, "Yeah, he came as a baby." And they'd all start laughing. They thought that was just, because to them, Allah, that's impossible. That's an impossible reality. And here we are in Christianity, we say, yeah, he came vulnerable. He came as an infant. He came vulnerable and weak. I mean, just think about it. He had to allow human parents to take care of him, to watch over him, to protect him. God of the universe, in flesh, being taken care of by the people he came to die for. I mean, I just think that's amazing. He humbled himself to that point. He had to be protected. He submitted to Joseph and Mary that were his parents. I mean, just think about it. I've raised three boys. I mean, just imagine that. You're teaching Jesus, and he submitted to that. He listened to him. They raised him, and he suffered at the hands of man. I mean, he took abuse, and he suffered at the hands of man, and he didn't retaliate whatsoever. Never once. The Lamb of God, who could have in a second, and he just could have said, "You're gone," and they would have been gone. There would have been nothing left. He could have ended it all, and he didn't. We don't read anywhere where Jesus took up arms or fought back against those who accused him. They slapped him. They tore his beard out. They spit in his face, and he never once retaliated in any way. That's amazing to me. Just think about that for a moment. He was meek and gentle in spirit. His life was characterized by love, and we see that displayed especially, I think about when he was sitting and he calls the children to him and how he tenderly protects those children. when he heals the sick and he comforts those who are mourning. I think about the time when he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and it's the shortest verse in the Bible, but it just says Jesus wept. When he came upon his friend, he knew he was going to raise him again from the dead, but he saw the pain and suffering of all his friends and people he cared about, and it moved him in his spirit, and he wept. That's who we have when we see Jesus as a lamb. And on the cross, he died for those who were deserving to be in the on the cross. Not him. He did it. He took it. He took the cross. He died for the just, for the unjust. And he gave his life out of love. Just think about that. At the very same time, Jesus is like a lion. I don't know if you've ever studied lions. Lions are pretty amazing animals. I have a little cat. He's 7 pounds, right? You know, and he latches on my hand. I got little scratch marks. And it's amazing to me that when this little 7-pound cat decides that he's going to use all his muscles and bite into you, it's painful. And it's amazingly, here I am, big guy, and this little cat grabs onto me, and I can feel the power in that little 7-pound cat, because he's all muscle. He's hardly any bone. You think about it, cats are muscle, teeth, claws, and cartilage. And it all works together very, very well. Now, I can't imagine a lion, a 400-pound lion, and he's the same thing. He's just a lot bigger. And just think, when he latches onto you, what happens? You don't survive, do you? Just think of a Siberian tiger. He can get up to 600 pounds. Imagine that hitting you and latching onto you. I just can't imagine. There's so much power. And here we see Jesus. He's compared to a lion. And I think about how he was lying in his strength, in the way that he maintained his dignity. When they were doing all these things, just think, it would have took everything to resist not retaliating. And keeping his dignity, no matter what was happening to him, he was a lion in that you could not break his dignity. Even when you're beating him and treating him the way he did, he stood like a lion. He took it. Took it all. And he didn't let them have his dignity. When others tried to stone him or ridicule him, when they stripped him and beat him, he never lost his dignity. He was bold, and he stood up against the religious leaders of his time with boldness. I mean, he stood up in the temple and just proclaimed the good news. He took on the religious leaders of his day that everybody was terrified of, and there he is, boldly taking them on in the temple in such a way that they couldn't even answer him back, if you remember. They stopped questioning him because of the way that he came back at him. He performed incredible miracles. Think about the power that he displayed. Imagine being in a boat where you think you're going to die, and Jesus, what's he doing? His head's on a pillow sleeping. That's what the scripture tells us. All the men in the boat thought they were going to die, and he's asleep with his head on a pillow. And he wakes up, and what does he say to him? You have little faith. Be still. And all the waters got still. Just imagine that. That's power, isn't it? How many of you have seen somebody look at the water in a storm and just say, be still, and it all listens to you? Huh? It's never happened, has it? And it never will. He displayed power with the weather. He walked on water. I mean, that's pretty incredible. Feet in itself, no pun intended, but he walked on water. He showed unbelievable strength in the garden, sweating great drops of blood, it says. He endured terrible beating at the hands of the Romans. He endured with joy the ultimate object of cruelty, the cross and all its shame. He was invincible, that the grave could not hold him, and death was defeated by his resurrection. He came as the lamb, and he was the lion. He came full of grace, and he will return as a righteous judge and the rightful king. He's our lamb today. You know, we tell the story that Jesus came, but he's still here. He's with us. He's present with us. Jesus is alive today. We don't worship a Savior who's dead. We worship a Savior who's alive. He's alive. And he's interacting in our lives. Jesus is alive today, and he is our lamb today. Think about the ways that he is a lamb in your life, that he's interceding to God on your behalf. I don't know what you feel about that, but when you're not doing things right, things aren't going well for you, you have an advocate in Jesus Christ that he is pleading before the Father on your behalf. Amen. He is gentle with us. And patient. How many of you have experienced God's patience with you? And his gentleness. I mean, there's many times in my life I deserved to be squashed. And it would have been totally right. And there would have been nothing I could say about it. And yet, God is so patient with me. He blesses me despite my falling. I mean, he takes care of me in ways that I do not deserve in any way, shape, or form. And there he is. He pleads with us. Just think how God pleads with you. Through his scriptures, through his people, he pleads with you. He walks with you and encourages you. I mean, who encourages you? I get more encouragement from God encouraging me by sending people to me by his scripture, by prayer. I just think about all the ways that God interacts with me as a lamb, encouraging me. He's given me the Holy Spirit. He uses those Holy Spirit to convict me and bring me into repentance and obedience. He teaches us how to follow him and how to love those around you. I mean, he does it so patiently, so gently. He's strengthened us day by day, moment by moment. And we are never alone. And just think about it. He's as close to you at all times as the breath is on your lips right now. He's always there, always present. He walks with us, and he's so good to us. That's amazing to me, because nobody else is like that in my life. Nobody. He's a lion in my life. I hope he's a lion in your life. Who dares? You know, it says in the scripture, who dares rouse him? You know, when he's given the blessing to Judah, it says it's a picture of a lion who's eaten and he's gone into the corner of the cave to digest. Who's going to walk over there even though he's sleeping? Who's going to wake him up? Who wants that to wake up? Yet that's our God. He protects us by his own strength. He's protecting us by his strength. Who can snatch us from his hands? Who can? Nobody. Nobody. If God is for us, who's against us? How many of you feel defeated? Been beat up? God's on your side. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing in this world that can beat God. Nothing. Who can bring an accusation against God's elect, the scripture tells us? Who's the one who condemns? Nobody. Nobody. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? That's what the scripture tells us. He says, none in all these things. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that there is neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present or the things to come, nor powers, nor heights or depths. No other created thing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a precious promise all of us should be grabbing onto. Those days when you just feel like, man, this world has beat the snot out of me, that's the day that you should pick this up and read that. Amen. And just be reminded that God is a lion in your life. Jesus is our lion. He cannot fail. And in the end, he will bring everything under his feet, the scripture tells us. He will restore all things, and he will bring about righteousness and judgment and justice. We'll all be restored. I mean, we think about that. We get scared. Some people say, well, God's going to come back, and what's that going to look like? And if you read like Revelation 19, I'll let you read that on your own. It's not a pretty picture. He's coming back, and he's going to establish things. He's got enemies, and he's going to put them underfoot, it says. That means subject them. That's what he's going to do. That's the God that we're dealing with. He's a righteous God, and he's a just God. At the same time, he's a loving God. That's why he sent his son, because through his son, he fulfills his righteousness and judgment. And at the same time, he displays grace and love to us. He will crush all his enemies. That's the fury of the lion. He will crush his enemies. He will put an end to pain and suffering, because pain and suffering is part of his enemies. He'll put an end to them. Death and sin will forever be erased. He will bring about everlasting peace. He will triumph and reign forever. We just sang a song that you reign. He's going to reign forever. And we will be his people, and he will be our God. That's the promise that we have. So this Christmas, when we think about Jesus, I want you to think about him as being your lamb and your lion, because he's both. He's both. And celebrate. Celebrate that he came into the world. And celebrate that he's in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray right now. Lord, we thank you so much that you came as a lamb, Lord. That you were slain for the purchase of your people. That you shed your blood for the forgiveness of sin. That you were laid in the grave, Lord, to defeat death. And you did. You rose again. And I pray right now, Lord, that you just help us to realize just the magnitude of that moment. Lord, you came humble and walked among us. And Lord, you are the lion who protects us. You are the lion who is going to subject everything under your feet. You're the lion, Lord, who no one can defeat. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Lord, help us. Help us to see you who you are. And I pray, Lord, in light of that, we would see who we're not. We are not God. And we have fallen so far short from your perfection, Lord. Help us to see the need for Jesus. And I pray now, Lord, you'd forgive us of our sins. I pray, Lord, that you'd forgive us of our arrogance and our pride. Lord, you'd help us to see our need for you. Lord, that we would be thankful in our hearts. Lord, that you came and died for us. That you shed your blood for us. And that you died for us. Lord, help us not lose that sight. Let us be thankful every day. Let us celebrate your coming every day in our lives. And Lord, help us as a people to share your love with others. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.